Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Welcome, everyone, to Angel Talk. Today, our talk is going to be about deception, illusion, and discernment. You know, we have never been in this cycle of the planet at a time when discernment is necessary every moment of the day. We're being affected by deception and illusion on several levels of consciousness. So, join us as we share with you the way Spirit has shown us on how to protect ourselves. This should be an inspiring radio show for you. First, I'd like to start off with a little prophecy. As we move forward in life, we are gaining more opportunities to understand our purpose, why things happen to us, how we are either one with or separated from God. We've been taught to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Yet many situations tempt, trick, or try to pull us off of our true purpose in life. We will all be moving into a time when everything is so quickened that if our inner self is not aligned with God, much turmoil will be in our lives, more than presently what we are dealing with. Everyone is meant to see the fact that when you function from love, everything is for your use. But when you separate from love, you only draw chaos into your life. The universal laws of love apply to everyone, everywhere. That is why God sent His only begotten Son to earth, to show us and to be the example of how to live our lives, that even if we make mistakes and we go to Him in prayer, He offers us forgiveness so that we can continue to move forward and do our life's work. As more changes happen and earth changes, destroys things, we must never blame God for this, for He is the giver of life. We must at all times honor and respect Him. For as we bless Him, He blesses us back. God's love is endless. Try to become closer to God, and He will protect you in this time of change. Every morning, start with giving thanks for the day and set a positive energy in place. Every day is an opportunity. And try to embrace a loving attitude as much as you can. For that love will come back to you and fill your body too. Thank you and blessings to you. Well, in the subject of deception, we start off with Galatians 6, 7, and 8 saying, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh will, from the flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will, from the Spirit, reap eternal life." As thoughts are imposed upon us, we become subject to them. If we could hold the ideals of youth, beauty, purity, and perfection and hold on to them always, we would change our condition within no time at all. Jesus said, "If your eye be single, your whole body is full of light." But many times we are tricked by deception and fall vulnerable to it. We feel like a victim, and it can make us sad or angry, untrusting. But before we are so quick to react, we must turn to God, because when we are part of the light and love of God, we are shown the truth, and our thoughts and emotions are realigned to a higher purpose. Bart Spaulding had a lot that he shared. I'd like to go over some of that with you also. But Jesus had said, as you love one another, you are immersed in love. He placed love as one of the greatest powers. When we turn our power in the other direction, we come into a state of turmoil. He said that you are the ruler of heaven and earth and all that is in them. Are there any limitations in that? He saw that man had not touched his possibilities. He presented the unlimited to humanity. His original words are perfectly simple. He placed the ideal so definitely that we could never forget it. He presented it as God. It is known today that the vibratory influence of that word carries us right out of the hypnotic state we build in our bodies. If we turn the energy we give to that state towards God, we would build that condition so definitely that there would be no separation. But most of us look from the central point and allow our thoughts to dissipate. Jesus' vision went to one point, that subjective condition that always exists. The object changes, but the truth never changes. Now, if we change and gave all of our energy to that one pointed attitude, our bodies would emanate light. When we came into a room, that room would light up. The very instant we have changed our thought to this truth or God, it is right with us, and we are that very thing. When you turn towards the light, you find that you are the light. It is said that no one brings forth an accomplishment in any way without assisting the whole race. It is the energy we add directed towards one great attitude of thought that carries humanity on. It is by building upon our own foundation, then we have all the energy in the universe to use. Everything we think of in the name of God and with that vibration belongs to us. That covers all supply, all knowledge, all purity, all perfection, and all good. You can gain dominion just as soon as you put your entire thought on the fact that divinity is already established within you. Know all of the time that divinity is nowhere but right within, that it has always been established within, that you have only clouded and thus kept it out of your consciousness by your own adverse thought. That is only an illusion. Talk to the divinity within. Tell it that you know that it is there and that you have now become fully aware of its presence. Ask it to come forth and be the dominating factor in your life. Love is far the most important thing of all. It is the golden gate of paradise. Pray for the understanding of love. Meditate upon it daily. It casts out fear. It is the fulfillment of the law. It conquers multitudes of sins. Love is abundantly invisible, but love will conquer all. There is no disease that enough love will not heal today. No door that enough love will not open. No gulf that enough love will not bridge. No wall that enough love will not throw down. And no sin that enough love will not redeem. In Ephesians 5:6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Jesus taught in simple terms, that the objects of this life is not death, but a greater expression of life. Everyone is a unit in the whole principle operating in harmony, where every individual stands in his own domain, completely in accord. And for that reason, you will find, if you go through the simple teachings of Jesus, that he put forth the declaration, I am God, for every individual to use. This is not a part of principle, but the principle itself. Do we allow deception and illusions to control us? In John 8:32, it says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus told us that the truth would make us free. When one stands in that free, flowing stream of universal power, nothing can touch him, let alone hinder or stop him. The Christ is God, flowing through the individual. One standing in that attitude has everything to use, and all of the principle flows through him. Why has this power become static, inactive, and non-responsive in so many of us? Only because of our own attitude towards it. Each individual's attitude of thought can completely check the utilization of it, even though it continues to flow in universal abundance. When one is aware of this power flowing through him, he can give conscious expression to it. When Jesus made the statement regarding his unity with the Father, he knew that all humanity could be as he was and is. The truth frees us from any negative condition in which we may be involved. We alone bring about those negative conditions, and we alone can free ourselves from them by changing our thoughts. Jesus knew the science of expressing that freedom. He knew that humanity would go on to a greater and greater accomplishment as more individuals grasp the truth. We are just beginning to realize our possibilities. But the debasement of God is death. There is no death except through the debasement of God. Jesus showed us the way to turn to God. Worship God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. In debasement, we have worshiped outside conditions and made every idol possible and worshiped them. Man must bring forth God from within, and that way presenting God to the whole world. It is through the distortion of the original teachings, humanity has been taught that it was outside of God's dispensation, living in a material condition through which it must work. But God never cast man outside of himself. Man himself has built the illusion of a mortal existence wherein God must be won by prayer and acceptance of religious formalities. Yet, no matter what attitude we take, we cannot alter perfection. It stands preeminent. It does not matter to principle into what form you build this body with your thoughts. You do not alter principle in any way by building what you think of as an imperfect body. We can entertain all the doubts we wish, but someday the truth will sink in. And when we drop all of our doubt, we are back in perfection where we belong. Jesus told us that we are our own saviors. This great race of today is right at the point of accepting the great order of the Christ. The Christ is the individual. Can't we see that if we turn completely to the Christ principle, presenting the Christ-like attributes, instead of destructive thoughts, deceptions, and illusions, that we should become so aware of this great condition that we would change the nature of all humanity. We are face to face with it now. This great period in which we are today is the completion of the cycle where the Christ stands forth again, dominant. The Christ always stands as the conqueror. The entire Bible is a complete bringing forth of that condition, pointing right to this time with the Christ coming forth, meaning that every one of us presents the Christ. The moment we accept this body becomes a light body, then we begin to use the power of which we have been unaware of for so long. Your body is the very first temple that was ever brought forth into form. Therefore, it is the first and purest temple where God could dwell. Then why not love and worship this perfect God temple? For by loving and worshiping it as a God temple, perfect and complete, we must be absolutely aware of this body as the God temple complete for loving, thinking, and accepting is true worship. There never was a temple like this temple of the living God. Every temple built by hands can in no way compare with this body temple. They are pictures and forms that the mind has thought out, conceived, and built or brought into form. Yet they fall far short of ever bringing forth one function of this beautiful body temple. There is not a laboratory in all the world that is capable of doing what this body laboratory does without taking any thought of the process, taking in food and transmuting it into life, or bringing forth a living form that is perpetuating a race, or even flexing a muscle, let alone thinking or acting or moving or talking or perceiving that which is the present, the past, or the future, the ability to construct or build, also to go forth and teach and endow accomplishments and to assist posterity, to give forth that which is good and noble, honorable, and magnificent. Is there a temple aside from this body temple that can give forth all these virtues unless they are endowed with them by this great, glorious body temple, the first and only temple not made by human hands? Is it any wonder that God chose to abide and be at home within this glorious body form, this form divine, this God temple body that completely renews itself? Let us see how and why this body has been so degraded. We have been taught by sacrilegious, deceitful, ignorant, profit-seeking individuals with but a smattering of real truth that this body is weak, sinful, imperfect, inferior, abnormal, subject to disease, decay, and death, that it is conceived in iniquity and born in sin, and every other thought and expression that a mortal man can conjure up. So let us think and look into the past and see and understand just where and how these teachings, thoughts, and words have gradually drawn us into the terrible vortex and miasma of sin, duplicity, sickness, failure, and last, the greatest dishonor of all, death. The results of this dishonesty has led us into the dishonor of this perfect God body of form. Let us think, or suppose, just for a moment, that we had never heard or been taught these words of untruth, and that they had never been lodged into our vocabulary. We would never have known them or accepted or learned or believed or worshipped them. If we are capable of learning them and believing them, we are far more capable of unlearning them by demanding that they leave every time they come. You will soon find that it is no more trouble for the subconscious thought to repeat the truth that you are sending forth to it than it is to repeat the former untruth that you have previously imposed upon it. The more you impress the truth upon the subconscious by love and worship, the more it will send it back to you. This is where you are the master. For by forgiving the untruth and letting go of them, you will find that you have mastered them. You are above and beyond them. They are forgiven and forgotten. And when we change to true thought, words, and actions, to find that power flows through our body, and we readily feel the glory of its purpose. And remember, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
You know, Sandy, it's so true. And one of the things that I hear most often from people that I talk to is that, well, you have your truth, and I have my truth, and doesn't everybody have their own truth? And the only thing I can say is that there is only one truth, period. One truth. Now, one can have an opinion, another person have another opinion. And when two people come together and they both have opposite opinions, then over probably the next couple of weeks or so, the body itself and the soul will fight it out over the two hemispheres of the brain as to, well, which one's opinion was more truthful? Because that is what polarity does. It actually allows for the seeing of both sides of the coin. But there's only one truth. And if you say, I have my truth, and you have your truth, you have set yourself up for that very situation where you will have to prove to yourself, to your own soul, what is the truth, even if it's only on one tip of particular subject. The whole idea is that in the beginning, God created the universe, and it was in spirit. Everything that has ever been created in the material world was created in the spiritual world first. Even to this day, if you need to create a new car, a new house, anything that you need to do materially has to be done in spirit first. And when you go into spirit to do it is when you can create it in its more perfect form. But then it materializes downward through the Holy Trinity, downward into the material. And how good it is, how long it lasts, how well it stays, depends on how you treated it and what you did with it when you received it. If you utilized a gift that you created in spirit and materialized it in the material world and used it for your own purposes without regard for anyone else, then I guarantee you, you will find that it won't last long. It will fall apart, or it will break, or it will, you know, of itself create a distraction or create something in your life of cause and effect that is not good. The material itself is static. You know, a table, a chair, whatever you want to call it. God said, I am the God of the living. And what he meant by that is that for something that you need or desire or want, or, you know, God is going to create, there has to be movement. And that's why in the beginning it says, and God moved, and creation became started. And it's always that way. It continues that way. There has to be movement for there to be creation. And so when you go before the throne, I've had people say, well, you know, half the time my prayers aren't even answered. Or they say, you know, what I see are people getting down on their hands and knees and begging for something. Well, if that's the way they see it, that's the way they see it. But that is not the way prayer was meant to be. Prayer was meant to praise God for what you don't see yet, because that's how creation works. From that which is unseen, manifest that which can be seen. Never the other way around. It never is what you see, you know, become spirit. It's the other way. That which you cannot see can manifest itself into that which can be seen. And that's how the universe itself was created. And it's still being created. And it's still being moved and the light, you know, poured into areas of people who will accept it. But if you get a gift, do you give God the credit? If you get a compliment, do you give God the credit? Because everything that exists comes from Him, comes from God, and through the Holy Trinity, because that's how it's stepped down so that we in third dimension can receive it. And we have to be aware of that and keep our focus straight. You know, it was the angels that said to me that don't look left, don't look right, because you will only create, the left will see something different than what the right is, and it will create an argument within the two hemispheres of your brain, and it will just distract you. And it made perfect sense to me. Keep your vision straight. We'll watch your back, but keep your aim straight and keep it on God. How many times a day, just as we're walking through the place we work or, you know, or driving to work or whatever it may be, do we just praise God? That should be our main focus right now. And it should be on God, because it can only either be on God or it can be on the material. And the material is the reign of the prince of the earth, which is Satan. You know, and if that's our choice, that's our choice. Mankind is the only creation that is allowed to defy its own creator. But the whole idea is the truth should be evident if you just stop. And it's not about the thought process. It's about the feeling process. It's about knowing, how could it be anything else? It's love. God is love, and love is law. So God doesn't go around judging people. There is law. If you break the law, so to speak, there is an effect, a cause and effect. So the cause creates the effect, and that's law. And God doesn't say, over there, make sure that one gets the law of cause and effect. It's part of the creation. It's part of us being able to see the difference between God and the other side, the not so shiny light, as the angels would call them. And is it really that difficult to know, to see? If you run afoul of the law and you know that you're doing that and you shouldn't, and you do it anyway, that can't even be forgiven outright. You have to face it. It has to come right up before you, and you have to face it and see it, acknowledge it, and then it can be let go of. And so, you know, the scriptures and other ancient, you know, historical books concerning, you know, Christianity, and even the Old Testament, they contain those three things. Typically, it is deception, it is discernment, and illusion. You know, everything that we are basically seeing right now is attempting to bring to us illusion. So that is what we want. Think about it hard enough, and guess what? It'll, all of a sudden, you'll get it. And has that really ever been the way God worked? You know, I hear people say, well, God doesn't answer my prayers. And I can tell you this, I have never prayed to God that God has not answered my prayer. Now, it may not have been answered the way I wanted it to be answered. I may not have gotten the answer I wanted, but I got something. And typically, it's something better than what I anticipated. And a lot of people say, well, I went to God and I asked for this, or I asked for that, or, you know, and it was something that was positive, you know, for helping somebody or something. And I said, God already knows. God knows before you come before Him, before the throne, before the Holy Trinity, God already knows what it is you need. So why are you even asking? Go before God and say, God, I know through the Father who art in heaven, and through the Messiah, Emmanuel, my God and Savior, and the blessed Holy Spirit, I come before you and I know you know what I already need. And so I pray your holy name, you know, El Elyon, El Shaddai, and through Yahweh, and through Shekinah. If you want to use sacred names, you can use them and praise. There's an old saying that says, you know, why worry? Jesus said, does it add one extra day to your life's worry? No. And he said, so why worry? And I heard a little more of an extension on that. Why worry when you can pray? If you can't pray, then worry. And I use that a lot, but it's true. You know, you pray, but you praise God for bringing to you what it is that you need before you get it. Too often we wait and hope it comes. But, you know, it's been said that many people pray, but they don't sit long enough in quiet silence to receive the answer that they prayed for. We are a people that want it, and we want it now. And, you know, miracles are great, but it's the little miracles. It's the little things. It's the steps that God will take you step by step by step in the right direction, and he will lead you to places that just amaze you, that out of nowhere comes someone who needed your help at just that time, needed to hear the voice of God through you at just that time. And that's how God uses us, because spirit is spirit, and spirit can move the worlds in spirit form. But when it comes to this earth, it has to be grounded. That's why we're here. We're here to ground that spiritual energy and light into the earth and into the material realm so that people can find a way of escape from it. And it's it in a basic nutshell. And if we can put our hand in God's hand and just say, if anything I can do today to be of service, then lead me, O Lord, in thy way. And let my voice be your voice. And grab his hand and let him lead you. And I'm telling you, as you take step by step by step, it may not seem like a whole lot's going to happen. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes something. And it's just amazing. It will floor you. I mean, they're little things. You know, sometimes you get the big things, but typically they're the little things. And the little things are the most important. Miracles have never, ever saved an individual from himself, him or herself, ever. Miracles don't do that, you know? And God placed miracles into creation at the beginning so that as you walk through life, there will be times when things will happen that you will call a miracle. But it's not because you did something completely right. It happened to be that you were at the right place at the right time when that miracle was supposed to have occurred. I mean, there's only one place I can recall in the Bible where Balaam was supposed to, he was paid very well, and he was known as one of the great mystics of his time, and he was paid to put a curse upon the Hebrews as they went through the desert in the Exodus. And he went out there with his donkey, and he decided, I get the feeling maybe I shouldn't do this. So he went back to the king and said, I'm not so sure we should do this. King said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you this much. And he like doubled it. And Balaam went back out and, you know, thought about it again and changed his mind, went back to the king. I think it was the third time he went out. And that time he was going to go ahead and do it because it was just too good. You know, the pay was just too good to turn down. And the donkey spoke to him. As he's trying to get the donkey to move, the donkey speaks out and says, you know, why do you treat me like this? Have I not ever done anything you've asked me to do? Have I not carried your goods? Have I not, you know, been a good companion to you? Now, when an animal speaks, I'm sure I'd listen, you know, and sometimes it takes that. But, you know, he was warned. How much warning do we need? You know, I mean, when we know. And he knew. And so eventually God took him because he just couldn't resist the money. And how often are we like that? We just can't resist the money. And the money is worthless. Soon we're going to find out how worthless. But for now, it is worthless. And, you know, and we can't take it with us. It's what you do with it after you're gone, that you leave it behind, and what the people that you left it to, what they do with it, that is the important part. And when we go and we're lifted up, we can create, you know, in those areas, it's more spirit. It can be created faster, much faster. And it'll last much longer. You won't take it out of the box and it doesn't work. The whole idea here is that two choices. Which one do you want to choose? And you may say, well, it's no big deal. I mean, it's really not that much money. I mean, a couple hundred thousand dollars or something if I do take that job. Well, really? You know, think about it. Who are you serving? You cannot serve two masters. You would either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. You know, so you have to choose. And it's truth. Look at it. Look at who it is. What is their purpose? Are they helping or hurting? We're coming to a time where, you know, there are plans in the works to take away from everybody, you know, things that we are so used to having, but they're going to take them away in the name of, you know, sustainability and helping nature. Well, you know, I hate to tell you, but, you know, the local commission in the county here, I couldn't believe it. They announced that they were going to spend $2 million on a parking lot for three cars and a new office for the three commissioners. And I couldn't help it. I had the chance to get up and speak at a forum, and I brought it up. And I said, you know, put gravel down instead of, you know, pavement, and, you know, get them three nice cushy chairs if that's what they want. But $2 million? What can we do with $2 million? You know, for people, to help, you know, to help bring the awareness up, to help in people who are ill. And God has promised, and I'm telling you this, and I'm putting my reputation on the line, God has promised that very, very soon he is going to lift up those who are receptive to him and have not lost their faith, and he's going to lift them up just high enough that the diseases can't raise to that frequency. And they will, like, it'll be like I'm falling away. And I wouldn't want to be stuck down there in them because they're going to be like, you know, creepy crawlies. I mean, but you'll be able to still see the chaos, but it won't affect you. And if you remember with the Pharaoh and Moses, once he reached a certain level, the plagues no longer affected the Hebrews. And it's the same way. God's going to lift them up just far enough, or us up just far enough, that the illnesses will fall away. Because, and I've said this for the last couple of years in my meditations with spirit, you know, with God. You know, it's hard, oh Lord, for people who are in pain. And I see people who are bent over their shopping carts. They can barely get through the supermarket. Or they don't have enough money to hardly buy food and to buy the medicines that they want. And now I hear that pharmaceuticals are going to take over the over-the-counter medication. Well, you know what? God's not mocked. And so God's going to lift them, going to lift us high enough, just high enough, that those illnesses fall away. And you will have a window of opportunity to make your choice. Make the right one. Don't think that, oh, just because I'm well now, don't listen to anybody else tell you that it was, you know, the wrong side or the not so shiny light that did it for you. Because all through the Old Testament, there were times when God would have a covenant with his people. And the very next day, you know, they would turn to human sacrificing because they were told that their crops would grow faster and it would rain every day. I mean, how quick? The very next day. I mean, you know, we as people, we want what we want, and we want it now. It's mine, and I want it now. You know, and really, it's not yours. Everything that exists belongs to God. Give God's glory for it. That's really what it amounts to. And everything else is an illusion. And you will soon see that it's an illusion. I mean, it's just not real. And honestly, there are powers that can take it away at any time they want. And because it's material, it's not spirit. For anything in the material realm to continue to exist, it has to be constantly infused with the light of spirit. And trust me, if it wasn't created through the forces of God, then it's not going to be reinfused and it's not going to last long. And we have the choice. It's coming soon. And when I say soon, I mean real soon. So prepare yourselves. Get ready for it. You know, have you tried to buy a wood stove lately? You can't. Have you tried to buy a gas stove lately? You can't. Why? Because sustainability. They're going to take those things away and it's going to be electric only. And they're going to charge you out the yin yang for it. You know, discernment. You have to look around you. Have you seen it? Have you noticed it? Have you noticed the blue signs along the highway? I mean, it's all about knowing, you know, just looking at it and seeing that's odd. What is that? And do the research. Look it up if you need to. I mean, or just know that God, hold my hand and lead me in the right direction and show me what I need to know. And what I don't need to know, I don't need to know. But as he lifts you up, you will be able to know all the reasons of how the spiritual works in the physical and how the physical works in the spiritual. And that's the beauty of it all. I mean, look at the blooms that are coming out on our rose bushes and our trees. And I mean, oh my goodness gracious, you know, that can't be duplicated or created by the not so shiny light. Everything it creates falls apart pretty soon and pretty quickly. And the other thing is that a copy of anything is never even close to its original. And it tries, and you know what? It gets by with it way too much, way, way too much. Why we give them that, I don't know. We'll elect people into office that have no reason to be there. If they did, trust me, God would put them there. But instead, we want what we want. You know, well, I'm not sure about this person because they're not from around here. Well, really? Is that the excuse we use? I mean, when it comes to discernment, the idea is there is a sacred name of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai, Sah, Ba, Yat. And you can use that and it will clear the space around you of any negativity whatsoever. Even the highest of the angels use it in greetings to other realms of angels to ensure that there's nothing negative trying to sneak in. I don't think it does enough there. It says the sons of God came before the throne and among them was Satan. So keep in mind, God has no adversaries. The only adversary is that the not so shiny forces can somehow try to trick us and use us to do something because it has no power to do something that is a violation of God's law. And really, I mean, that's its power. It really is weak. It has no power except the power you give it. And I tell people evil doesn't exist in this world. It's not a part of the world. It's only a part of the individual who allows it in. Because evil exists in the spiritual realm. And people can choose to bring it within, and then they do something that is against God's law. And that leads to another, to another, to another, to another. And it can grow and grow and grow. And are we part of that growth? Can we say that we didn't do something last week that, you know, probably could have been taken by somebody else and turned into something else, and before long it's grown out of proportion? And Cindy, can you spell the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh?
Yeah, it's Kadosh. And you say that three times, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai, Adonai. And then Sabayat, we always like to say it phonetically, because the way it's spelled and the way it sounds is a little different. So if you do it phonetically, S-A-B-A-Y-O-T,
right.
But if you spell it, it's original, T-S-E-B-A-Y-O-T-H.
Right. But Sabayot is much easier to remember.
Right.
And it's just...
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts.
Right. And if you look in some of the ancient Coptic texts, I mean, there are, you know, whole chapter to explain the meanings of that sacred name. So use it as discernment. The other one Jesus told his disciples, he said, how will we know, Master, when we go out? Because he sent them out without a purse. And they said, how will we know that it's safe if we knock on a door and, you know, and they invite us in to have something to eat? How will we know that, you know, they're really who they say they are? Jesus said, say these words. As you walk through the threshold of the door, all you have to do is say, peace be unto this house. And within 10 minutes, if there are hidden agendas, they will show themselves. Jesus said, and leave immediately. Peace be unto this house. Jesus never said anything, I'm convinced, that didn't have great meaning. And half of what he said probably never made it to you know,
the record.
Yeah, to written script anyway. But it's there. It's still out there and it's within you. I believe that the entire Bible is within every cell of your body. So it doesn't matter if anybody changed anything or tried to move something around or take something out. Read portions of the Bible, small portions at a time. And even if you don't really understand it at the time, you will find that if you read a portion in the daytime, in the evening is when, if you sit quietly, it will just seem to come to you what it meant. Because it's still polarity world. If you read it in the evening, know that you'll probably get your answer during the day. But it's within us. God placed it within our cellular structure. And there, it can't be changed. And it's
true. And when you allow the energies that are coming in throughout the day, when you allow yourself to quiet your mind, you know, just sit in like a meditative state, just quiet your mind, stop thinking, and just try to empty your mind as much as you can. It's like whatever is trying to come through from the subconscious, from the higher spiritual realm, whatever, will flow through. But if you completely block off the information that's trying to be sent to you, a lot of times when you are quiet, it starts coming through. And that's when you don't want to, like when you're sleeping. And you lay down to go to sleep, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm so tired, I just want to go to sleep. And then next thing, your mind becomes as active as possible. And you are not going to sleep then, because these messages are going to flow right in. So take the time during the day to allow this quiet, peaceful time, and whatever wants to come through to you, allow it and absorb it. And then maybe when you try to go to sleep at night, it'll be a little easier.
But use the kadosh, 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 and then sit quietly or fall asleep, whichever. But that way, and ask that your dream states be protected, because we have on this planet technologies now that can even affect you while you sleep. So, you know, ask for that protection. The heavenly host and the Archangel Michael and the other archangels, Uriel, Raphael, they're all there to help and aid. And the multitudes of the hosts are more than you can even imagine. I mean, Sandy got a vision of them one time and she couldn't see the end of them. It was like a massive field, and, you know, they were just filled in that field, and you couldn't see where they ended.
Yeah. And I always discern on everything. Is it God consciousness or artificial intelligence? You know, is it truly coming from the heart, or does it feel like it's trying to impose itself on you and shift you out of your true purpose? Always discern. Because we are in a time where so much is happening and so many energies are just bombarding everybody's minds and trying to convince you of this or that. You know, you go into stores and there's technologies that try to convince you that you need to buy certain things. You know, this should not be allowed. You know, we are bombarded with a lot of energies that we don't even really realize because they're frequencies. So we have to discern at all times.
And if it is things that you feel you need, you know, and you desire, God understands. The angels told me one time, they said, what is it that you need? And I said, well, I said, a bed? They said, not really. They said, what you really need is a mattress on the floor. They said, but God understands. And God has no problem that you have a comfortable bed to sleep in at night. But the idea here is, we're in a time now, you know, when you receive things, if they're from God, they should be something that you can share. Are you sharing what it is that you're being blessed with? If you're not, then you have stopped the blessing that came to you. And that's where we oftentimes screw up. We don't allow the blessing to flow through us, and part of it at least to go to someone else, and from them to someone else. And I remember there used to be a time when that was even being taught, you know, pass it forward. And, you know, we've gotten to a place now where, you know, some people just don't want to help at all. They don't want to donate to their churches. They don't want to help people who are less fortunate. Well, you know, maybe they should just get a job. I hear you, but that's not for us to decide. That's for them and God. And we don't know everything that there is to know. All we can know is that if there is a need, then we should be willing to feed it, help feed it with the blessings that God brings to us. And that is a law, to receive for the purposes of sharing. And, you know, that was the first cause, and God moved. So when God moves, you know, then creation can occur in your blessings. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's in the small things. I mean, you know, when the Israelites in the desert wanted meat, 1.5 million quail flew off course and were caught in the nets that were set up to catch them. And they had all the meat they could eat. You know, that is a massive miracle. Yet it wasn't long after, I think, that, you know, that they built the golden calf, you know, and started the sacrifices again. It's, what does it take? It's not a material manifestation that is going to change us. It is the love we feel of God within us. And once you feel it begin to fill your heart, you know, you want more and more and more of it. And the more you give away, the greater is the portion that then is given to you. Give more away, and the greater is the portion that's given to you until it overflows. And God is not the God of not enough. God is not the God of too little. God is the God of overflow. And once it overflows, it's like a brook or like a stream, and it continues to flow. And you can't outgive God. You can try. And it's interesting to try and keep giving and see, watch how God fills your heart with more and more and more and more. And once you have that love in your heart, you wouldn't want to trade it for anything in the world.
This is true. Yeah. And always remember, when it comes to discernment, discernment helps us navigate deception and stay grounded in truth.
It's absolutely, absolutely the most important thing right now. Keep looking forward. Don't look left. Don't look right. You know, have the sun at your back so that your path is always lit forward. And put your hand in the hand of God and let him lead you along the path. You will just be amazed. If all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you turn left instead of right. And there's somebody waiting for you. You know, if we can be of service to you or in any way, or help you with your church, help you with, you know, questions you have spiritually, questions about your life or things like that, we are a prophetic church. And, you know, give us a call at 1-304-566-7000. 877-333-5-4 or 3355. The 800 number is 1-800-860-6605 and ask for Reverends Jim or Sandy.
And we are very grateful for all who have listened to our Angel Talk radio show, and we hope that you will join us again in 2 weeks. May God bless you all.
Amen.